Welcome to Inside Vancouver Opera. I'm audio producer Mac McGilvery. And now, part two of The Life and Times of Mozart, written by Jane Potter, with voices from David Bloom and Ashley Daniel Foote.
15 Things You Didn't Know About Mozart. Number 1. Kuschel Catalog, first completed in 1862, is a complete listing of all 626 of Mozart's works, from his first composition at age 5 in 1761, Andante in C for piano, to his final composition, Requiem in D, in 1791. Number 2. Mozart's compositions are known for hitting some of the highest and lowest notes in the vocal range. In The Magic Flute, the soprano must hit a high F in the Queen of the Night's aria, "The Vengeance of Hell Boils in My Heart." And in the opera Abduction from the Seraglio, the bass soloist must, remarkably, sing a low D in Osman's aria. Number 3. You would need 202 hours, or about 8.5 days of straight listening, to get through Mozart's entire body of work. Number 4. Mozart's sister, Nannerl, as she was nicknamed, was as gifted a musician as her brother, some say even more so. She accompanied her father and brother on their grand European tours as a child, and continued to play and compose until her father forbade it and insisted she marry instead. Unfortunately, none of her compositions have survived. Number 5. Mozart had a pet starling, which, he claimed, could sing the opening bars to his piano concerto, number 17. Number 6. Known as a bit of a trickster, Mozart never gave up the opportunity for a prank or a practical joke, as we hear from Mozart describing his own antics at a performance of The Magic Flute in a letter to a friend.
When Papageno's air accompanied by bells began, feeling such a strong impulse to play the bells myself for once, I played them a capital trick, for at Schikaneta's pause, I made an arpeggio. He started, looked behind the scenes, and saw me. The second time the pause came, I did nothing. Then he paused and would not proceed. I guessed his thoughts and played a chord. He then struck the bells and said, "Halt, Maul! Hold your tongue," which made everybody laugh.
Number 7. As a young child, Mozart performed for Queen Charlotte and her husband, King George III, at Buckingham Palace during the 15 months he lived in London with his father and sister in 1764. It seems both the Queen and Mozart made favorable impressions on each other, she declaring him likely to be one of Europe's great composers, and he composing several sonatas for her at the age of 8. Number 8. The relationship between contemporary composer Antonio Salieri and Mozart has long been the subject of speculation. In 1831, Russian poet, playwright, and philosopher Alexander Pushkin wrote a one-act play called Mozart and Salieri. The play, a fictional exploration of the complicated relationship between the two composers, was based on the rumor that Salieri poisoned Mozart in a fit of jealous rage, causing his death. In 1897, Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, a Russian composer, wrote an opera of the same name. And 87 years later, in 1984, the movie Amadeus was released, which further explored the rumor of Mozart's death at the hands of Salieri. Poor Salieri. He is, it seems, more renowned for what he didn't do, rather than what he did do. write hundreds of brilliant compositions. There is certainly more proof of Salieri's unbound admiration for Mozart and his talent than anything else.
I received my first instruction in composition from the celebrated composer Giovanni Martini. From him I learned everything I know, but I owe my greatest instruction to Mozart.
Number 9. Mozart was famously a member of the Freemasons, a brotherhood devoted to the ideals of the Enlightenment, pursuit of knowledge, personal growth, rational thought, and philanthropy. He was in good company with the likes of George Washington, Goethe, and Voltaire, also members of the fraternity. During his Freemason years, Mozart composed most of his biggest crowd pleasers, including Così fan tutti, Don Giovanni, The Marriage of Figaro, The Magic Flute, and Requiem in D. A testament to the artistic inspiration Mozart found from his Freemason years. Number 10. In 1790, Mozart and four others, including Schikaneder, his librettist for The Magic Flute, collaborated on the opera Der Stein der Weisen, or The Philosopher's Stone. The plot followed the quest for the Philosopher's Stone, which, legend has it, turns metal into gold and promises eternal life. The opera holds many similarities to The Magic Flute, including elements of humor, fantasy, magical creatures, challenging quests, and similar characters. Some say it was a model for The Magic Flute. If The Philosopher's Stone sounds familiar, that's because it has appeared in many literary works over the centuries, from Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales to J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. The stone's transformational abilities may symbolize the quest for knowledge and truth, and the ability to improve and transform oneself, elements valued in Freemason lodges all over Europe at the time. Number 11. Mozart and his wife Constanze had 6 children, but only 2 survived to adulthood. Carl Thomas Mozart, born in 1784, and Franz Xaver, born in 1791, just 5 months before the death of his father. Of the two, Carl had an illegitimate daughter who died at age 10, and Franz never married or had children. Thus, the Mozart family name died with the death of his 2 sons. Number 12. Forever the Joker, Mozart often signed his letters Tresom Nagflo, his name backwards. Number 13. Surprisingly, Mozart has a frog named after him. Elithrodactylus amadeus is a small, unassuming frog native to southwestern Haiti, and named after Mozart due to the whistling nature of its call, 4 notes in succession at night and 2 notes at dawn. Number 14. While much is made of the male composers of the classical period, Mozart was surrounded in his time by incredibly talented female composers and musicians, including Mariana Martinez, Maria Theresia von Paradis, and Josefa Ornhammer. All 3 women were accomplished composers and musicians, and all 3 played regularly with Mozart at performances, often playing pieces he had written for them. Given their renown in the day, one could ask why we know so little today about these brilliant and gifted women. Number 15. When Mozart died in 1791, he was buried in a common grave, so called as they were meant for anyone who was not nobility. Unfortunately, there is no record of where this grave is, and to this day, the location of his final resting place remains a mystery. However, there are many landmarks and monuments dedicated to Mozart in Vienna and Salzburg. Even Austria's national anthem is Mozart's Land of Mountains, Land of Streams, from his little Masonic cantata. On the occasion of his 250th birthday, January 27th, 2006, bells from all the churches in Salzburg rang out at the exact moment of his birth. Mozart may not have minded this anonymity in his death. He was quite resigned to its eventuality, writing,
"I have formed, during the last few years, such a close relationship with this best and truest friend of mankind, that death's image is not only no longer terrifying to me, but is indeed very soothing and consoling. And I thank my God for graciously granting me the opportunity of learning that death is the key which unlocks the door to our true happiness. I never lie down at night without reflecting that, young as I am, I may not live to see another day.
And while Mozart died over 230 years ago, his music lives on. And perhaps Beethoven, who himself rivals Mozart in greatness, said it best.
Mozart is the greatest composer of all. The music of Mozart is of such purity and beauty that one feels he merely found it, that it has always existed as part of the inner beauty of the universe waiting to be revealed.
And that's part two of The Life and Times of Mozart. The Magic Flute runs from October 21st to 29th at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre. You should buy your tickets now at vancouveropera.ca. And I'll see you at the opera.